Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. You know, last year in the Super Bowl, there was lots of bets going on. A lot of people got nervous when Kansas City was down, even in the fourth quarter, but they pulled through for those Kansas City bettors, and they're right back here in the opener this season. So for game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new edition of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker back with you here. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, as always, you can rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or find us wherever you get your podcasts. Alex, we're back and we're officially on the doorstep of the regular season. Preseason's over now and we're almost there. Next week, the season is back. It's pretty hard to believe.
It's pretty hard to believe for sure, man. I'm excited about it. Let's go, man. Preseason went fast. This whole season came fast, which is awesome. And getting down to business right now.
Yeah, preseason, like you said, shortened just because of the nature of this offseason and how quick it's been. Just three games. Clippers did not look great in those games. We'll get into that in a minute. 0-3 in the preseason. They didn't, Marcus Morris didn't play in the preseason. Some guys sat out. Obviously, the minutes were pretty limited for the starters. So I figured we will talk about it now, but I wanted to bring back the segment we did a couple weeks ago called Right or Wrong to shout out Alex Acker and Act Right, the Twitter handle and the Instagram account. So, Alex, you ready for another edition of Right or Wrong?
Let's go. I'm ready.
All right. So, as we said, preseason 0-3, right or wrong, Clippers should be worried about that 0-3 performance in the preseason leading into the regular season.
Clippers should not be worried at all. I think their nucleus is completely fine. We got a big guy that hasn't been even, touching the waters as far as getting in the game, Ibaka. And I see a lot of great potential things that's coming from the bench and the new guys that's coming in. So definitely not worried at all.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had to look back at last year's preseason just to kind of get some context. And of course, last year's a little different. Paul George, was hurt. Kawhi Leonard was kind of nursing his injuries back to health. And, they played more preseason games 5 than they did this year 3. But, their only wins last preseason were against two teams that weren't NBA teams. And they were 0-3 against NBA opponents. Then, of course, came back and had a great regular season and were the number 2 seed. So I think, like you're saying, you would like to see them play a little better, but at the end of the day, it's preseason. You said the minutes, the rotations, and I think you throw in the extra caveat of a couple new guys and completely new offensive and defensive system with a new head coach. So I think going through some of those wrinkles and ironing it out during the preseason is to be expected.
For sure. Definitely true.
Yeah, and we said, as I said, Marcus Morris hasn't played yet. He's by no means, the end-all, be-all, but he is a starting player. He's important for them. So I think getting him back in the lineup just adds to the depth that, goes down the line.
For sure. It has value to it. It adds a lot of weight for the team. These guys are highly pros, So they're not worried about it. And I think the coach, the staff is not worried about it as well, too. I see them throwing in a lot of great things as far as the offense and isolations for guys that getting close to the basket, posting ups, Yeah, you're dead on with it. You know, the coaching staff is just trying new things for these guys to see what works for them best.
Yeah, and one of the big stories from free agency or from the offseason, and technically free agency, which happened last week, we haven't had a chance to cover it yet. Paul George signed, you know, that 4-year extension, max extension with the Clippers, so he's locked in till 2025. Right or wrong, the move from the Clippers to give Paul George the max and give him that extension.
Yeah, I think it's right. You got to go for a guy like this. You know what I mean? He is definitely committed, and he's focused on one thing, and that's winning a championship. You know, this is his first time being with the club, and you know, he has a story as far as, you know, telling promises and that he doesn't keep. You know what I mean? For other teams, and saying he's committed, and then he dips and he leaves. You know, I think he's really locked in, and. And, you know, quicksand and cement, you know, with his feet planted in L.A. and wants to win and bring it home for the Clippers, you know. So that's a great move for the organization, and I think it's an even greater move for Paul George to be comfortable in playing in his environment for sure.
Yeah, and this is something that I had a chance to talk about with the Kamenetsky brothers, who host the Land of Lakers podcast. If you haven't heard that, go check that out here on the Believe Podcast Network. But the same topic, basically, for two reasons. For the Clippers, we know they gave up so much to get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 5 first-round picks. You know, just that haul alone makes you think you have to keep this guy. And then the second thing is, for all the struggles he had in the playoffs last year, he's still, you know, top 20, top 15, top 10 guy when he's right. And true. And you keep that talent. As you said, if it, for whatever reason, if it doesn't end up working continually down the line, then you have that piece and that asset to trade for something else. But you know, the Clippers are over the cap. They can't spend this money on another player of that caliber. So to lock him up long-term, I think, is the right move.
For sure it is, yep.
All right, so on that note, on the Paul George note, we'll go to our next right or wrong question. We heard PG, as you said, talking about, you know, he didn't play as well as he wanted to last year, especially in the playoffs, that he's going to get back to his form from 2 years ago where he was, you know, near the top of the league in the MVP conversation. Right or wrong, Paul George has a much better season and is in that conversation again this year compared to last year.
Yeah, I think it's open. It's open range for anybody of that caliber level that Paul George is at. You know, it's not set in stone for anybody right now. It's an MVP candidate, and it's up for grabs. You know, if Paul George is set on that target, then so be it as an individual. You know, you always have to have individual goals set aside as well as team goals, you know. So he's willing to reach that goal all for it, you know what I mean? But they need that Paul George that was at that level back then, you know what I mean, to step up and carry this team and move forward. You know, they need a serious leader out of this organization, you know, that's on the floor, a general.
Yeah, no question. I think that's something that, you know, everyone has been looking toward, especially after the playoff collapse last year, is, you know, who is the official leader? We know Kawhi Leonard is the best player, but who is one of the leaders on this team? It seems like Kawhi's taking that role a little more, but at the same time, George doing that. And I think, you know, whether it's MVP conversation or not, the team just needs him to be at his absolute best to have a chance to win. And I think, you know, hopefully that's the case. I think he will be better this year. And you know, not to give him a pass for the playoffs, I think, you know, there were definitely moments where he really struggled and needs to be a lot better. But again, if the, you know, the Clippers close out one of those three Denver games outside of Game 7, Paul George was really good in Games 5 and 6 and most of that series, but that's, you know, now forgotten because of the clunker that he had in Game 7 and, you know, the struggles in the Dallas series. But, you know, it was still there for good stretches. You just have to make it more consistent.
For sure, yeah. No, I think that's true too. Even though they lost in the situation that they were in, there are teams, you know, Denver is looking behind their shoulder at the Clippers and seeing what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's not a sleeper team where they're just gonna walk in and just take advantage of these guys, you know. These guys are somebody as a caliber as far as winning a championship, and they're well respected, you know, so no matter what, they have the key pieces, they have every single thing as far as the nucleus. And there's no more freaking excuses, man.
I think that's something we can all agree on. No more excuses for sure. This is a team that, as we said, the expectations are there and they're going to continue to be there, but they just got to put it together. And, you know, for all the talk about the regular season and this team in particular probably needs to take the regular season more seriously than they did a year ago. But at the same time, it only matters for this team what they do in the playoffs, because we know that's where all the expectations are.
Yeah, for sure. I know for a fact they're going to get to the playoffs. Everybody knows that. So they can't have their head bent and out of shape for a preseason game and have expectations right now. You know what I mean? There's no championship in the preseason game at all, you know. Just getting comfortable and getting the feel of the team camaraderie within, and making sure everybody's accountable for and growing every single day. I think the biggest thing right now is just the practices that are more serious, if I recall, back when I was playing during preseason. Making sure everybody's engaged and locked in towards getting towards that target, and everybody's committed towards it. You know what I mean? And right now is the perfect time for it, for sure. It starts in practice.
Yeah, no question about it. So as we move forward to our next right or wrong, it's one we saw in the last preseason game. Again, you know, some guys didn't play. Minutes were a little altered, but we got a good look for one of the first times at Fi Cabangele, the first-round pick from a year ago. Big man, young player, shot blocker, three-point shooter. He looked really good in that game. Right or wrong that he will crack the rotation at all this year, or do you think it's still maybe a year away?
Man, it depends. It's still a long season of a lot of things, of uncertainty. But who knows, man? We've seen a lot happen last year as far as the Clippers, and Zubac had his time to shine and stuff like that. They also started him the last game. So you never know what the coaching staff will be throwing in some wrinkles and stuff like that, you know. So I think he just got to be ready for his time, and he's been doing an amazing job up to this point.
Yeah, I think, as you said, it's a long season, so it's hard to know for sure. I think he'll get some minutes as far as regular rotation minutes, probably not yet, but I think he's under one of the perfect situations for young player, obviously first-round pick, so he's under contract, doesn't have to worry about that. But he's got great mentors that can help him develop specifically the skill set he has. You know, Serge Ibaka is probably the perfect guy for him to model his game after, and then you got other big men who can help him out, like Zoo, even you know, fours on the floor like Marcus Morris. I think he's got a great, you know, toolkit to work from, and I think that he'll make an impact from game, you know, from time to time, but we'll probably see him a little more down the road. But I think I like what I see from him as far as a potential, you know, rotation player down the line for this team.
Yeah, he has room to grow into his role for sure, so it's no rush at all.
All right, so the next question is not specifically Clipper-related, but it is NBA-related. We had a tweet from Mark Stein come through just a couple of hours ago saying that the NBA, of course, beginning next week, will have 7 of the 30 teams allowing at least some number of fans inside in a reduced capacity. Cleveland, Houston, Memphis, New Orleans, Orlando, Tampa, and Utah. Right or wrong that the NBA will allow some fans in some arenas when the season is starting?
Man, these arenas are so big. I'm pretty sure they can allow a couple of fans to keep them at ease distance for sure, man. These arenas are huge. So hopefully that can happen. They've been doing an amazing job in the bubble with no virus attacks or anybody getting symptoms inside. So whatever they do, I'm pretty sure they're going to take 110% caution and making sure everybody's safe and secure.
Yeah, we know that obviously the vaccine has been rolling out. That's going to take a while before it's, you know, given out to everyone. So, you know, we're far down the line from that. But, you know, it is concerning. Obviously, as you said, the NBA has done a great job thus far, and you would think that they'd continue to just keep things as safe as possible. You know, the numbers are obviously bad right now. It's indoor arenas. So hopefully, like you said, it's as reduced as possible, and everyone inside is, you know, required to wear masks. But it'll be interesting. Obviously, that's another wrinkle. And for those teams who do have however few, but some fans, that might be an edge for them compared to teams where you're playing in empty gyms. Any edge for those couple of teams might help them out a little bit during this regular season.
Yeah, it will. It will, definitely.
All right, so another story we had to cover and ask you about on right or wrong in this segment. We were talking a little bit before we recorded, but the Jerry West, I don't even know what to call it, tampering Kawhi Leonard gate. Basically, Jamal Wilkes, a former teammate of Kawhi back when they were younger in high school, claimed Jerry West said he would pay him $2 million to help get Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers and then did not pay him. Just anything about this story. Is it a big story? Do you believe it, right or wrong, on the whole thing?
I'm surprised that this story even got any traction at all. Like, come on, man. $2 million. That's wild, you know, for anybody to even think that somebody's going to pay them $2 million without a contract or anything at all, like, in the blue. Well, I'm just wild of this even happening. For sure, I know Kawhi's not saying anything at all about this. Probably not even not knowing anything about this at all, but it's just funny as heck to me.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi was asked about it after the game last night, and he just, like you would expect, just say, you know, I have nothing to do with that. That, you know, isn't true. But, you know, there was the voicemail from Jerry West, basically. Again, he, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he did, you know, talk to whoever to try to get a leg up and be like, this is how we get Kawhi Leonard. But like you said, the fact that Jerry West would feel the need to pay anyone, especially that amount of money, is pretty mind-boggling to me, no matter if he is reaching out to people for recruitment. Yeah, I just have a hard time believing that one.
Yeah, for sure.
And also,
think he's going to be able to pay somebody $2 million for a guy that's worth $200 million. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense. If he wants to come to L.A., he's going to come to L.A.
Yeah.
He doesn't need anybody.
And there's also, I know that tampering does exist in the NBA and there are tampering rules, but it's so wishy-washy in how it's, you know, how they police this thing, where certain things, you know, slide under the board and other things are, you know, they get actual charges for it. But, you know, obviously Rich Paul is Anthony Davis's agent, but LeBron tampered with Anthony Davis and then made that trade happen. So,
man, but
you know, that happens in the NBA every day. I'm not even blaming them or calling that out. I'm just saying everywhere tampering exists. Yeah. So I don't think this is much of a story.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the USA games, it's so much tampering that goes on in there. Let alone, come on, man. All the way when LeBron was teammates with Dwayne Wade back then, you know what I mean? For sure they had their mind set up and doing something like this, playing with Miami together. So for sure it goes on.
And we saw it, what was it, All-Star Weekend 2 years ago now with Kyrie and Kevin Durant, you know, chopping it up, and you know, they were obviously saying, hey, maybe it would be fun to play together, and then
sure,
a couple months later they're signed to the same team in Brooklyn. So this is just kind of the nature of the NBA.
Yeah, it's definitely that. It's definitely that. It's like really like an AAU scenario, and it's like, hey, you wanna play with me this year? Okay, cool, man, let's go play. Like, it's kinda like that, you know, I got next type game.
Yeah. So whatever they did, it worked. Kawhi, of course, is on the Clippers. That's a good segue to the next right or wrong. We know Paul George signed the extension. Kawhi isn't eligible to sign until after the season, but do you envision, or let's say right or wrong, Kawhi Leonard will re-sign with the Clippers, right or wrong?
Well, for a fact, he actually got Serge Ibaka, speaking of tampering, he got him there. So I don't think he's just going to get his guy there and just dip on him and leave. So that's a great leverage to have for sure. But I don't think he's going anywhere, especially just winning a championship with a team like Toronto that's never won and pretty much given the key to the city. Like, if you leave that situation, you know what I mean, to come home, I don't think you'll find any other place but home. Your safe haven for sure. So, no, I don't think he's going to leave.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, you look at all the factors, like you said, both Paul George and Kawhi decided, you know, they wanted to play for the Clipper organization, but a big chunk of it was they wanted to play at home here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after, you know, going through all that, like you said, both players, George forcing a trade, Leonard, of course, leaving a championship situation, it would be hard to envision, unless there's some other colossal flame out or something, and even then, for Kawhi not to re-up and, you know, try to give this thing a go for a long time, for pretty much a team which is his at this point. He's the guy, and, you know, the Clippers are going to do whatever it takes to kind of cater around him.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
All right, so as we move forward, so the regular season's here. So we've got the first three games, of course, are kind of must-see TV. Tuesday, we got we got Clippers-Lakers. Christmas Day, we've got Clippers-Nuggets. And then Clippers' first home game will be against the Dallas Mavericks on the following Sunday. So three tough games.
Some huge games right
I was going to say, right or wrong that the Clippers, let's just say, win two out of those three. We won't even go 3-0. Right or wrong that they'll take two out of those first three?
Oh, man, I would say... I say they'll win one. They'll win one. I don't know if they're... I've seen the Laker game and the Denver Nuggets just now, and those guys look like they're already in playoff mode, you know, from that standpoint. So I don't know, man. They got to really turn it up and take it there. I think for the most part, they got to really just be able to compete on all aspects on, you know, every quarter, and not take no days off as far as the quarter wise. So we'll see, man. We got a championship caliber team. So, you know, it's, the ball's in their court. They get the first dibs as far as with the Lakers, the championship team. So that's going to determine everything. But I really think they're going to win one, I would say, out of these two. I might be wrong, you know what I mean? Call me biased. I might be wrong, but what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think they'll get one out of those. Well, there's obviously the three. I think they have a good shot at two out of the three, but at the same time, it was just like, as we said, last year in the preseason, looked pretty jagged, pretty clunky, not great, and then they came out and beat the Lakers on opening night. So maybe it's the same type of thing. We know that this Lakers team looks like they're a little bit stronger even than they were last year, especially at the start of the season they will be. But I think that, you know, that Denver game they'll have circled for obvious reasons, and, you know, the Dallas one should be fun. Regardless, you know, I'll say, yeah, that they'll win two out of those three. But at the same time, obviously, if they do struggle in the beginning of the season, as we've seen, the media is going to seem like the sky is falling. I would just preach to everyone out there just a little bit of patience and confidence that the first couple games of the season are not the end-all, be-all. It'd be nice to win those games, but just as if, you know, if they win them, it doesn't mean that they're going to be champions. If they lose them, it doesn't mean that they're going to be awful. So just a little bit of level-headedness there for the opening of the season.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Alex. So as we move forward here, what are you looking forward to most in the upcoming start of the season, at least for this Clippers team? What are you looking to see from them that would give you confidence? And just what are you looking forward to most from this team to begin the year?
Man, I'm really looking forward to, no lie, I've kind of seen a little bit of glimpse in this last game that they played against the Jazz. Just the swag and demeanor from, you know, the guys that they, Maine has been playing awesome, you know, for a little time tick that he has, which is dope, you know what I mean? And you got Luka, who's been, you know, really poised, you know, and feels like he belongs on this team. It fits very well. So I'm seeing a lot of great things. You know, we still haven't seen Serge Ibaka. From that standpoint, man, it's just an up and up. I think right now I'm just really like on a plane of probably like every fan, like more or less, you just got to show me that you guys are really want to take this to another notch right now. So I have no expectations. So with that being said, it's just like I'm really like locked in or whatever they're giving. I'm really engaged into it for sure. But for the most part, man, every little thing that they put in is really valuable. Batum actually rebounding, that gives me a great incentive that when Kawhi does come out, he might not never come out, but when he does come out, you don't lose nothing on the defensive glass and offensive glass because you got somebody right there helping the bigs as well. So every little thing is playing a huge part right now. They just got to carry it on and stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how the defense looks in the regular season. We know they were, you know, not the best in the preseason, but as we said, you wipe that away. And, you know, on paper, this team should be even better than they were last year on defense. And they were still pretty good on defense for most of the year. But the additions of Serge Ibaka, Of course, having Zubats back there on the front line as well, really important. And as you said, we'll see who kind of gets those other minutes around the key guys. But Batum in that mix, maybe Terrence Mann with some of those minutes as well. But I think this team has more versatility than last year's, where they can have more defense on the floor and still be able to create offensively. So I'm looking forward to that. And like you said, I'm looking forward to seeing the new guys. Like Luke Kennard, I think, can be a big factor for this team with his shooting and playmaking. And Ibaka, and like, you know, he can be a key piece for them. And, of course, the health of Marcus Morris, I think, is important, because I think he's a big piece for the team as well.
Yeah, those are key pieces. They brought Patterson back, too. He hasn't played yet as well. So it's going to be pretty awesome, you know, to see what they do. It's all on the coaches. I really have to give, like, you know, 80% of the weight for the coaches to really put this chemistry together for these guys so they can prevail at a high level, you know.
Yeah, and that's another thing to look for. And, you know, it goes hand-in-hand with the new schemes and offensive and defensive systems for seeing what the packages are for Ty Lue, if he gets the players into their spots in different ways and has different schemes on both sides of the floor. I'm really excited to see that in action in regular season play and see if it, you know, makes a big difference for the Clippers. And his in-game and, in, you know, future game adjustments, I think, is really key as well.
Yep.
All right, Alex. So we kind of danced around it, but before we go, said the first game of the season is Tuesday, Clippers-Lakers. We're going to break that thing down with, we mentioned the Kamenetsky brothers, who are on the Believe Network and host the Lakers show. They'll be coming on this show to talk that one over the following day. But just to have it on record, what's your prediction for opening night? Who wins, and what's the game look like?
I'm going with the Clippers. I'm gonna go with the Clippers. I'm a firm believer of it. I think for the most part, it's gonna come down to X's and O's in this game for sure. And you know, better minds are gonna win. That's gonna be on the court. These guys got a vendetta because they never even got a chance to play these guys. So they got a chip on their shoulders. So I hope that is the right edge for the most part. But I'm going to go with the Clippers. I'm optimistic on this one for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, the Lakers, they get the credit. They're the champions. They brought in some new pieces as well. And right now they are the better team. But I agree. I'm going to go with the Clippers in the opener. I think, you know, of course, we'll see across the season. They'll definitely have work to do to catch up to what the Lakers are now. But I think on opening night, that adrenaline, the excitement, and, you know, like you said, just kind of wanting to get that bad taste out of their mouth from last season, I see a strong opening effort and hopefully a win on Tuesday night.
Sure. And they stole our sixth man, too, so we definitely pissed about that.
Yeah, there's going to be a little extra edge from that one. We saw it in the preseason with some playful, you know, talking between the teams. Kawhi Leonard, you know, saying hell no on a Montrez jumper, and Beverly clapping. You know, that's going to be in an extra gear on Tuesday. So just another layer to this thing that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, so that's going to do it for this week's show. Thanks, of course, to Alex Acker, our great co-host, holding it down in Italy. And as we said, Clippers are back in action on Tuesday, the opener against the Lakers, and then Christmas night against the Nuggets in Denver. So NBA's back. We got it covered with you here on the Bleed Podcast Network. Know you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And know that we'll be back next week with our show with the Kamenetsky brothers. So until then, thanks to Alex. Thanks to you for listening. This is the Believe in Clippers podcast on the Bleed Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.